Mimi Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We got here because the President of the United States is one of the most unpopular presidents in U.S. history. We got here because he recognizes that he will lose the election. Congress will go back into the hands of the Democratic Party next November.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says he's fighting fire with fire, signing legislation to hold special elections for the public to approve a new gerrymandered map. This in response to Texas, where the state House just passed a new congressional map to flip five Democratic House seats at the request of President Trump. We'll get the latest. Then, a Democracy Now! Broadcast exclusive. We speak to fired State Department press officer Shahid Qureshi. He wanted to send a message of condolences to the families of Palestinian journalists killed in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza.
I was fired as the press officer for Israeli-Palestinian affairs at the U.S. State Department because ideologues are taking the lead both on policy and on press. And this sends a chilling message to both the political appointees and the civil service.
And finally, to Guatemala. We'll hear from the family of a California day laborer. During an immigration raid at a Home Depot last week, he tried to flee by running across the freeway, but was struck by a car and killed.
He died because he was afraid. He died because of these injustices, this persecution. I want him to be remembered as a brave and hardworking man.
Also speak with the National Day Laborer Organizing Network. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United Nations has formally declared a famine in the Gaza Strip, where more than 500,000 Palestinians face widespread starvation, destitution, and preventable death. The declaration follows 22 months of near constant Israeli bombardment, along with the repeated forced displacement of Palestinians, severe restrictions on access to food, water, and medicine, and the collapse of health, sanitation, and market systems. The UN's top humanitarian official, Tom Fletcher, spoke from Geneva earlier today.
It is a famine in 2025, a 21st century famine, watched over by drones and the most advanced military technology in history. It is a famine openly promoted by some Israeli leaders as a weapon of war. It is a famine on all of our watch. Everyone owns this. The Gaza famine is the world's famine.
On Thursday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he would restart indirect negotiations with Hamas aimed at returning the remaining Israeli hostages held in Gaza. But Netanyahu said he would not halt Israel's military campaign to seize Gaza City while forcibly displacing its nearly 1 million inhabitants. Israel's unrelenting attacks continued overnight, with at least 25 Palestinians killed since the early hours of Friday. Among the dead, at least 12 civilians killed when Israel bombed a school sheltering displaced families in Gaza City's Sheikh Radwan neighborhood. In Deir al-Balah, 23-year-old Saja Hamad is recovering from injuries after her dramatic rescue from the rubble of her home following an Israeli airstrike on the Nusayrat refugee camp.
I didn't feel anything. I was just sleeping in the other room, and suddenly I heard nothing. I just found myself under the rubble. Everything fell onto my face. I was screaming, calling for my family. I thought they were dead. I did not expect they would still be alive. I thought I would end up alone.
An internal Israeli intelligence database indicates at least 83% of Palestinians killed in Israel's assault on Gaza were civilians. That's according to a joint investigation by The Guardian and the Israeli news sites Local Call, and 972 Magazine. They report the proportion of civilians slaughtered by Israel has few parallels in modern warfare. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed legislation Thursday approving a special election in November, asking voters whether to waive an independent redistricting process to approve a new partisan congressional map favoring Democrats. Newsom's signature came just hours after lawmakers in Sacramento approved the measure. State Assembly Speaker Democrat Robert Rivas called the proposed map a direct response to a new congressional map approved by Texas's Republican-controlled House this week at the behest of President Trump that's designed to flip five House seats in the 2026 midterm elections.
We will not let our political system be hijacked by authoritarianism. And today we give every Californian the power to say no, to Donald Trump's power grab, and yes, to our people, to our state, and to our democracy.
Protests continue in Washington, D.C., opposing President Trump's federal takeover and military occupation of the Capitol. On Thursday, Trump paid a visit to hundreds of National Guard troops and federal law enforcement agents deployed to the district, delivering pizza and hamburgers to them and praising their crackdown, which the White House says has netted some 600 arrests since early August. Hundreds of immigrants have also been arrested in Washington, D.C. in recent days, as Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents are now accompanying police officers on traffic stops targeting delivery workers on mopeds. ICE agents are reportedly using driver's license, registration, and insurance information to determine the immigration status of people stopped by police. Over 200 immigrants have been arrested since Trump's federal takeover of D.C., according to the White House. The shift violates D.C.'s sanctuary policies, which restrict collaboration between local police and federal immigration agencies. This comes as the Pentagon's recruiting civilian employees to join Trump's crackdown on immigrants, asking them to voluntarily enlist to aid in immigration raids. A federal judge in Miami has ordered the Trump administration to stop transferring immigrants to the remote, poorly constructed immigration jail on an airfield in the Florida Everglades swamp, dubbed by Republicans Alligator Alcatraz. Thursday's ruling finds Florida and the federal government acted illegally by omitting an environmental review before building and opening Alligator Alcatraz. Trump officials will now have to dismantle much of the detention camp to remove, quote, all generators, gas, sewage, and other waste and waste receptacles that were installed due to environmental violations. This has raised concerns of how the jail could remain operational with hundreds of immigrants still inside. The decision came as part of a federal lawsuit filed by environmentalists and the Muckasuk tribe. Trump's State Department's reviewing the records of more than 55 million immigrants who hold valid U.S. visas, threatening to revoke protections if any violations are found deemed deportable by the Trump administration. This includes what Trump officials declare engaging in any form of quote-unquote terrorist activity. Earlier this week, the Trump administration said it would expand its rigorous screening and vetting of social media posts of immigrant visa applicants to search for so-called anti-American views and activity. References to anti-Americanism can be found in the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952, which at the time of its enactment primarily focused on targeting suspected communists. Russia's foreign ministry said Thursday a European proposal to deploy troops in a future post-war Ukraine would amount to foreign intervention is therefore unacceptable to Moscow. The statement casts further doubt on President Trump's bid to bring Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and Russian President Vladimir Putin together for peace talks. On Thursday, Zelensky said Russia had already telegraphed its intentions to continue its war in Ukraine through large-scale drone and missile strikes, including a cruise missile attack on a U.S.-owned electronics factory in western Ukraine Thursday that left 15 people injured.
The Russians knew perfectly well where they were aiming. It was a missile strike. We believe it was a deliberate strike precisely on American property here in Ukraine. A very telling strike, like this whole massive attack, at the very time when the world waits for a clear answer from the Russians, an answer regarding negotiations to end the war.
Police in Italy say they've arrested a Ukrainian man suspected of coordinating the sabotage of three Nord Stream gas pipelines in 2022. The undersea explosions caused severe damage to infrastructure built to carry natural gas from Russia to Western Europe. The United States initially blamed the sabotage on Russia. German federal prosecutors have identified the suspect only as 49-year-old Serhii K. He's allegedly part of a small team of Ukrainians who use a rented yacht, satellite navigation, sonar, and seabed maps to plant timer-controlled explosives on pipelines on the bottom of the Baltic Sea. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled Thursday the Trump administration can proceed with plans to cancel nearly $800 million in National Institutes of Health research grants tied to diversity, equity, and inclusion. The court's narrow 5-4 ruling overturns a lower court order that blocked the Trump administration's abrupt cancellation of some 1,700 grants focused on heart disease, HIV/AIDS, Alzheimer's, substance abuse, and mental health. The New York Times reports the Trump administration is ignoring a congressional directive to fully fund PEPFAR, an HIV/AIDS treatment and prevention program credited with saving 26 million lives since President George W. Bush signed it into law in 2003. The Times reports the Office of Management and Budget, led by Russell Vogt, has apportioned less than half of the $6 billion appropriated by Congress to PEPFAR for this fiscal year. Meanwhile, a union representing federal workers said Thursday the Trump administration's permanently fired 600 workers at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, adding to mass layoffs proposed by Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The Department of Education's canceled a grant providing millions of dollars for a California sex education program after educators refused to remove all references to gender identity, trans and non-binary people from its curriculum. The program seeks to help prevent unwanted childhood pregnancies and sexually transmitted infections. Separately, the Education Department this week quietly rescinded guidance directing schools to accommodate students learning English as a second language. This follows President Trump's executive order seeking to establish English as the official language of the United States. A federal judge ruled Thursday Trump's former personal attorney, Elena Haba, has been unlawfully serving as the U.S. attorney for the District of New Jersey. Haba had been serving as interim U.S. attorney until her appointment expired in July. After a panel of judges selected veteran New Jersey prosecutor Desiree Grace to replace her, Trump's Justice Department promptly fired Grace and reinstalled Haba as her replacement. A New York appeals court has voided nearly $500 million civil fraud judgment against Donald Trump, two of his sons, and the Trump Organization. Thursday's split decision by a panel of five New York appellate judges ruled the financial penalty to be an excessive fine that violates the Eighth Amendment. But the court did uphold part of the judgment that temporarily restricts Donald Trump and his sons Eric and Donald Jr. from doing business in New York. State Attorney General Letitia James promised an appeal, adding in a statement, quote, "It should not be lost to history. Yet another court has ruled that the president violated the law and that our case has merit," she said. New York City Mayor Eric Adams is facing fresh scrutiny after one of his former advisors attempted to pay off a reporter from the city following a campaign event Wednesday. Winnie Greco handed reporter Katie Honan a stack of cash and a red envelope stuffed inside an open bag of potato chips. The envelope contained at least one $100 bill and several 20s. Greco resigned last year while under FBI investigation and had been volunteering in Adams' re-election campaign for mayor. Her attorney claimed the attempted bribe was a Chinese cultural gesture in which money is used to express gratitude. The newspaper The City immediately reported the incident to authorities. Another one of Adams' longtime allies, Ingrid Lewis Martin, has been indicted on a second wave of bribery charges, accused of accepting over $75,000 in bribes in a scheme ranging from 2022 to 24, while she served as chief advisor to Adams. Last year, Lewis Martin and her son were also indicted on separate charges of bribery, money laundering, and conspiracy. And in breaking news, federal agents are raiding the Maryland home of John Bolton, who served as national security advisor during Trump's first term, before resigning and becoming an outspoken critic of the president. Citing an unnamed source, the Associated Press reported the search as part of an investigation involving the handling of classified documents. Ahead of this morning's raid, FBI Director Kash Patel posted a cryptic message on the social media site X, writing, quote, "No one is above the law. FBI agents on mission," unquote. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed legislation Thursday approving a special election in November that'll ask voters to approve a new partisan congressional map favoring Democrats. Lawmakers in Sacramento approved the measures a day after Texas's Republican-controlled House passed a new congressional district map designed to flip five Democratic-held U.S. House seats in the 2026 midterm elections. This rare instance of mid-decade redistricting came at the behest of President Trump. California Governor Gavin Newsom spoke Thursday.
We got here because the president of the United States is struggling. We got here because the president of the United States is one of the most unpopular presidents in U.S. history. We got here because he recognizes that he will lose the election. Congress will go back into the hands of the Democratic Party next November. We got here because of his failed policies. Those are being exposed hour by hour, reinforced today by Walmart announcing they'll be raising prices because of the tax increases, because of the tariffs, reminded every day by a slowing economy, growing mistrust, distrust all across this nation. Across the board, he is failing. He recognized that, and that's why he made a phone call to Greg Abbott asking for five seats. Can't win by playing by traditional sets of rules. He plays by no rules. I remind you all the time, it's not the rule of law, it's the rule of Don. And we're standing up to that.
We're joined now by two guests. Trey Martinez Fisher is a Democratic Texas state representative from San Antonio. His piece for the San Antonio Express News is headlined, "To Preserve Democracy, Texas Democrats Must Fight Fire with Fire." Earlier this month, he and other Texas Democratic lawmakers fled the state in an attempt to block passage of the new gerrymandered congressional maps. He's joining us from Austin. And in Haydenville, Massachusetts, David Daley is with us, a senior fellow at Fair Vote, author of several books on voting, including Anti-Democratic, Inside the Right's 50-Year Plot to Control American Elections, and Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. Let's go first to Austin to speak with Trey Martinez Fisher. Explain what has taken place, what is taking place as we speak in the Texas legislature, why you fled the state to break quorum, but the fact that now the vote, one of the votes has taken place to pass the GOP-favored gerrymandered map.
No, well, thank you for the question. Well, first, it was one of the just historic bait and switch. As you know, in Texas, we had a horrific flood where many people lost their lives. Many lives were just upended. And the idea was we were going to come to a special session to aid the flood relief victims to try to make things whole. And then just really with the snap of a finger, the governor announces his intention to have a mid-decade redistricting to bring five new Republican seats in Congress, which really threw everybody off. We knew from the start that we did not have the votes to stop that. And moreover, we didn't think the country was paying attention to what was happening in Texas. So my fellow Democrats and I, we decided to elevate this conversation, fight in the national arena, leave the state of Texas for over 2 weeks, find refuge in Illinois under the leadership and watch of Governor Pritzker. And we used our 2 weeks to rally the country to wake people up and to let people know that Donald Trump does not want to have an election fair and square, that he wants to be the commander and cheat. He wants to cheat on America, cheat on democracy, steal these congressional seats. And I'm just thankful that other leaders woke up, saw what was going on and said, OK, if Trump is going to throw out the rule book, then we will fight fire with fire. And I think that's what you see in California.
Did California have to do with you coming back to Texas, even though you knew that meant that they would pass the gerrymandered map?
I think what it meant is, again, you know, had we stayed in Austin and we fought this in the middle of the night, it might have made the local news. We know this is now international news. We know that people are starting to ask questions about mid-decade redistricting and gerrymandering and all of the stuff that is happening. And quite frankly, if you ask California leaders, they needed time to educate their voters, to educate their lawmakers. They needed a discussion to be on the national stage. And I think, as you saw very recently, that a poll in the state of California showed 57% of Californians agree with Governor Newsom's plan to draw five new congressional seats in California. That doesn't happen by osmosis. That happens by engagement and people coming together and this country rallying. Because, look, I never underestimate the power of the American people when it comes to preserving and protecting our democracy.
Representative Martinez Fisher, you're serving your 12th term in the Texas House of Representatives. You're the former chair of the House Democratic Caucus and the Mexican-American Legislative Caucus. Talk about how partisan gerrymandering relates to racial gerrymandering.
Thank you very much for the question, because that is the heart of the matter here. You know, Republicans and Donald Trump and Governor Abbott will tell you, well, this is nothing new here. This is just, we're looking for a partisan performance, and that is entirely legal. Well, yes, you can draw maps for partisan performance, but you can't do it on the backs of the minority community. Here's what the maps in Texas do and how minority rights are taken away. Number one, you take districts in Texas, congressional districts, like, you know, the one represented by Representative Al Green. That district is a performing district right now. It elects African Americans, even though it doesn't have a majority of African Americans in that district. Under this plan, what has happened now, you see a concentration of voters, more than what is necessary for that map to perform, being placed in this congressional district 18. And now all of a sudden you've just packed that district and you've diluted the voice of the African American community. Let's take another example in San Antonio, where I'm from. You took a district that had a 60% Hispanic citizen voting age population, and you reduce that now to barely 50%, knowing full well by looking at election data that Hispanics will never, ever, ever have the opportunity to elect a candidate of their choice. And I find that very confusing, because the narrative, at least in Texas, is that Hispanics are trending Republican. If they're trending Republican, why do you shrink the number so low that you know Hispanics' voice will never be heard? And when to do this, the way it's done in Texas is they cut precincts, and that's a little bit into the weeds. But you look at this map, and over 400 precincts were cut. You can't cut a precinct by accident. You are laser focused, looking for people you want to keep, getting rid of those you don't, and that's how you rig an election. And that's how you decide an outcome before the first vote is cast.
Let me ask you something. Could this backfire on the Republicans? Because you take very safe Republican districts and you have to absorb more Democrats to take away the power of the Democratic districts. But could this possibly backfire?
I think it could backfire. And I think that's why you saw the Republican legislative leader in California say that he's not a fan of mid-decade redistricting. I think he even said, when you fight fire with fire, you end up burning the whole place down. I do believe that Republicans are at risk, but I think that is a risk worth taking for President Trump, because the other side of the coin is maybe a Democratic House of Representatives that gets to ask questions of the executive branch, that has subpoena power, that has investigative power, probably a lot of risk for the president. And he'd rather give up his own Republicans in Congress just to protect his backside. And that will show you, you know, what the stakes are and what he will do to win this election.
I want to bring David Daley into this conversation. David Daley, who wrote the book Undemocratic, Anti-Democratic, Inside the Right's 50-Year Plot to Control American Elections, senior fellow at Fair Vote. Talk about this redistricting war. We're seeing what's happening in Texas, what's happened in now California, but this doesn't stop with these two states.
That's exactly right, Amy. We are in the midst of a gerrymandering Armageddon, and it's going to start in Texas, spread to California, but it's not going to stop there. And that's really the challenge that Democrats face right now, because it's entirely possible that the Texas and California gerrymanders will cancel each other out. Now, both of these two redistrictings in the middle of the decade would be the most extreme manipulation of electoral maps in modern American history. But it's not going to stop there. This is about to spread to Republican-controlled maps in Ohio, in Indiana, in Missouri, in Florida, where Ron DeSantis has said he's looking at as many as five additional districts. I don't think he can get that many, but certainly two or three more in Florida. If Republicans want to keep going, they could go to Tennessee, Georgia, North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, New Hampshire. The problem for Democrats is that they have essentially maxed out the places where they can gain additional seats. In New York, Governor Hochul talking tough, talking about declaring war. But this is a war that she can't enter until 2028 because of the state's constitutional prohibitions on mid-decade redistricting. In Illinois, Governor Pritzker already signed a pretty gerrymandered 14 Democrat, 3 Republican map back in 2021. Be very difficult to squeeze out another Democratic seat there. In Maryland and Oregon, I don't think there's a lot left on this map for Democrats to claim. Republicans have got a lot more targets out there. This isn't going to stop. And it could get even worse next year if the U.S. Supreme Court, as we imagine, eliminates protections on majority-minority seats, shreds the remaining pieces of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, and allows southern states like South Carolina, Louisiana, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi to go after majority black seats. This is the Calais case from Louisiana that the court will hear on October 15th. There's lots and lots of danger ahead here. If Democrats think it's going to be easy to take back the House in 2026, Republicans are doing everything they can to boost their chances before a vote is cast.
I want to go back to this issue, David Daley, of political gerrymandering, which is allowed, partisan gerrymandering, and racial gerrymandering, which is not allowed. And if you can explain more fully the role of the Supreme Court and particularly the Chief Justice, John Roberts.
Yes, and I think that that really is the particular bitterness of this situation, is that we don't have to be here. We are here in many ways because John Roberts and the U.S. Supreme Court closed the federal courts to partisan gerrymandering claims back in 2019. This is a case from North Carolina called Rucho versus Common Cause. And what John Roberts said is that gerrymandering is just politics as usual, right? But what we're seeing in Texas, the most extreme manipulation of maps in modern American history, that's just politics as usual, says the Chief Justice. And he said this at a time when federal courts, judges appointed by presidents of both parties, were looking at maps drawn by both parties, by Democrats in Maryland, by Republicans in Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, and North Carolina. And they said, we have all the tools we need to go ahead and fix this. Roberts not only said no, but he closed the federal courts forever to these claims. So what he did was he incentivized the kinds of gerrymanders we saw back in 2021. He allowed for what is happening right now. He left voters completely naked in the face of these partisan power grabs. The Supreme Court really failed the country here. And I think it's worth pointing out that if Republicans had not stolen that seat given that the Democrats were able to appoint back in 2016, that this entire thing turns out much differently right now. That case comes out differently. What has happened at the U.S. Supreme Court has accelerated and incentivized this entire anti-voter summer that we are seeing right now.
I want to go to another issue, David. President Trump said Monday he'll soon sign an executive order to ban voting by mail, calling the longstanding practice a fraud. Writing on social media, Trump also said he planned to target, quote, highly inaccurate, very expensive, and seriously controversial voting machines, end quote.